Our scripture today comes from two passages. First, Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. And then from Hebrews chapter 7, beginning with verse 22, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request, a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. Let us know you're here. And of course, you can follow along with my outline on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm continuing my series titled, I Believe, based on the Apostles' Creed. Why a series on the Creed? We've said that it's important for us to be able to articulate and to share the core foundations of our faith. It's important for us to be reminded of the central doctrines of the Christian faith as they have been passed on to us. It's helpful to see how this faith that has been delivered to us by those earliest disciples has relevance and impact today. The Apostles' Creed helps connect the core beliefs of our faith with our everyday lives. In these postmodern times that seem to mirror Old Testament days when the scripture says everyone did what was right in their own eyes, it's important to understand why we follow Jesus Christ. We've said that though the Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian in structure, six of the 12 affirmations in the Creed concern the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the message of those earliest disciples centered around Jesus. He is the one, the anointed one God sent into the world. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God's epic plan of salvation unfolded. We focused on his birth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He is fully human, fully divine. We focused on his death. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We focused on his resurrection. He descended to the dead. The third day, he rose from the dead. In Jesus, we have victory over sin, death, and the grave. Each of these phrases helps us to understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us. The good news about Jesus Christ is unique in all the world. There has been no one else in all of history like him. And yet, our enemy continues to do a job on so many to keep people confused, distracted, misinformed, unaware of what God has done through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Today, I want us to consider another unique part of the gospel story, Jesus' ascension into heaven. The Creed summarizes this part of Jesus' story with the phrase, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We can say what we know about this event itself in very simple terms. While Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Bethany, which is several miles east of Jerusalem. He blessed them and was then taken up into heaven before their eyes. You can write, taken up, in the chat. They were there. They saw it as it happened. Unlike the resurrection, which no one saw as it was happening, the disciples actually saw Jesus ascend into heaven. Both Luke and Acts say that Jesus was taken up into heaven. Luke 24:51 says, while he was blessing them, he left them and was what? Taken up into heaven. The verb has the idea of being lifted straight up into the air. They saw him rise. Then they saw him disappear into a cloud. Then they didn't see him anymore. Note this too. He ascended bodily, not as a spirit, but in his glorified body. That same body that was crucified and the same body that was raised incorruptible, in that body, our Lord ascended into heaven. So what are we to make of all of this? Remember, when Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room, he emphasized that he was returning to his Father in heaven. In John 16:28, Jesus told them, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. We can summarize the life of our Lord in this simple way. In heaven, on earth, in heaven once again. Jesus' ascension into heaven signaled the days of his suffering were over. No more crown of thorns. No more vicious insults, no more beatings, no more cruel scourgings, no more betrayal, no more mocking. Never again will nails be driven through his hands and feet. Never again will a spear be thrust into his side. Never again will he cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He who suffered more than any man will suffer no more forever. But there is more to consider about Jesus' ascension. Because Jesus returned to heaven, he is now liberated from all time and space limitations. You could write liberated in the chat. Have you ever wished that you could spend some one-on-one time with Jesus? I've often prayed that Jesus might visit me in a dream or just appear in my room at night. I've said, Lord, just come visit with me for 5 or 10 minutes. Just those few minutes will take care of me for the next 50 years. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's not wrong to feel that way. After all, one day we will see him face to face. But remember what Jesus told his disciples in John 16:7. It says this, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Why couldn't Jesus have stayed with them? As long as Jesus stayed on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. Now that he has gone back to heaven, he has sent the Holy Spirit, and his presence is with us all the time. Isn't that good news to know that Jesus Christ is always with us? He said in Matthew 28:20, surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How good to know that Jesus will never leave us. When we stumble, he is there. When we fall, he is there. When we feel his presence, he is there. When we think he has left us, he is there. When we doubt him, he is there. When we forget him, he is there. When we give in to temptation, he is there. Just when we need him most, Jesus is always there. But that can only be true because he ascended into heaven. The Apostles' Creed also says, he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What is the significance of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God? The New Testament uses three words to describe Jesus' status in heaven. He is exalted. He is glorified. He is enthroned. In the ancient world, when a king wanted to honor someone, he offered them a seat at his right side. That seat was the highest seat, the greatest honor, the supreme glory the king could confer on anyone. What does it mean to say that our Lord is now seated at the Father's right hand? Well, first it means that Jesus has a permanent place in heaven. When he returned in triumph, he was given a permanent place next to the Father's throne. Our Lord didn't have to search for a seat in heaven. When he arrived, there was a seat with his name on it. That seat at the Father's right hand is his forever. Second, it means that Jesus' work of redemption is now complete. While he was on earth, he often spoke of the work of the Father. Once when his disciples were encouraging him to eat, we read in John 4:34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his" what? His work. His work came to a climax when he hung on the cross, bearing the sins of the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that when Jesus died, he became sin for us. When he died, God poured out his wrath on Jesus. Even though Jesus was perfect and pure and wholly innocent, but as the sinless substitute, he took the punishment that we should have received so that we might go free. Just before he died, remember what Jesus shouted out? He said, "It is finished." The work was done. The debt was paid. Through our faith in him, we are not charged with the guilt of our sins because Jesus paid it all. The ascension signifies the Father has accepted the work of his Son. God has accepted Christ. Nothing more can be added to what he did when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. Thank God, Jesus is seated in heaven. Another thing his ascension means, Jesus is now in the place of supreme and highest honor in the universe. You can type honor in the chat. God has given him, he's exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Paul wrote about it in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Consider what this means. The victim has become the victor. The crown of thorns has been replaced by the crown of eternal glory. By seating his Son at his right hand, the Father is saying to the world, "My Son has been completely vindicated." Now, at last, Jesus receives what he truly deserves. He did not deserve to be mistreated or mocked or humiliated. He did not deserve to be betrayed, beaten, and scourged. He did not deserve the hammer and nails, a criminal's death, or being buried in a borrowed tomb. But now, at last, our Lord receives what he deserves: glory, laud, and honor. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says that Jesus emptied himself of the privileges of deity in order to take on the form of a man. He humbled himself by leaving the glory of heaven to be born in a stable in Bethlehem. He hid his glory and he lived a life of humiliation. It was unfair for the King of Kings to be treated so cruelly by those he came to save. Do you remember as he hung on the cross? The crowd jeered as his life ebbed away. They laughed at his pain and cried out, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." The ascension means that Jesus has been vindicated, justified in all that he came to do, and his days of humiliation are over forever. Another glorious promise concerning his ascension into heaven: Jesus intercedes for us. You could type intercedes in the chat. This is where the truth of Christ's ascension touches our everyday life. The writer of Hebrews 7:24 and 25 says this: "Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to what? Intercede for them." What does this mean for us? First, because he lived on earth and endured deep suffering, Jesus knows and understands what we are going through. Think about that for a minute. Jesus knows you through and through. He knows about your joys. He knows about your pain. He knows about your worries. He knows about your mistakes. He knows us through and through, and yet he still loves us. That is good news for imperfect people like you and me who stumble and struggle our way through life. And yes, because Jesus is now in heaven, he intercedes for us with the Father. The word intercede means to speak up on behalf of someone else. Jesus is now in heaven praying for us. What a marvelous thought this is. What wonderful balm for troubled souls. When you and I are down in the dumps, Jesus prays for us. When we falter under the load, Jesus prays for us. When our faith gives way, Jesus prays for you and me. When we fight a losing battle against temptation, Jesus prays for you and me. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. The scripture adds this encouraging truth too. Jesus is our advocate who speaks in our defense. In 1 John 2:1, the apostle says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus is our advocate, our attorney in heaven. When the devil comes and makes a claim against us, Jesus speaks up on our behalf and he pleads his own blood in our defense. The Father looks at the Son, he sees his pierced hands, and he says, "Case dismissed, case dismissed." And the best part of it is this: he has never lost a case. Remember this: because Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, you have a friend in the highest heaven, an advocate with the Father, a Savior who intercedes for you, a King who looks forward to welcoming you home one day. Because he was raised, we too will be raised. Because he ascended, we too will ascend. Because he is in heaven, we too will join him there someday. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about that. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious and loving Lord, we continue to give you thanks and praise for what you have done for us in sending your Son, Jesus. He lived, he died, he was raised. In his life, we see your heart of grace and compassion. In his death, we see your provision for our forgiveness. In his resurrection, we see our victory over death and the grave. And yet, Lord, after his resurrection, Jesus didn't stay here on earth. The apostles saw him ascend bodily into heaven. Hallelujah! And then he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us always. Praise you, Lord. And in his exalted place at your right hand, O Lord, Jesus intercedes for us. Hallelujah. He is also our advocate who speaks in our defense. Again, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for who he is and what he has done. Help us to share this amazing good news with others that you lead our way. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, as a time of response, I invite you now to share with me the Apostles' Creed, the ecumenical version. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Hey, I hope the message spoke to you. Remember, because of Jesus' ascension, you have an advocate, a friend in the highest place. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can have new life with God through faith in Jesus Christ, please contact me. If you've joined us today and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. You can use the app or go to the website. You know, giving back is one of the most tangible ways to thank God for his goodness. You can use text to give, the app. You can go to the website, mail-in contributions. Thank you. Thank you so much for your generosity during this time. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember, there is no one like Jesus. He is the one who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. That is good news, my friends. Look forward to these upcoming opportunities. For now, who do you know that needs to hear this good news about Jesus, our friend in heaven?
What's wrong, Lisa?
My neighbors. My neighbor knocked on the door and said my dog was chasing people down on bicycles.
Oh, yeah?
My dog doesn't even have a bicycle.
Many guests attend our services every week, either online or in the sanctuary, and we are thrilled to welcome them. Some may have questions about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership, and we want to help. Discover CUMC is today, July 18th at 2 p.m. You can learn more about our church and its ministries, or even join the church.
Water's Edge Ministry Week starts this Tuesday, July 20th. This is a great opportunity for incoming 4th through 6th graders to be the hands and feet of God. Contact Ms. Tanya for more information.
ELC is looking for some awesome teachers with a heart for God and a love of teaching young children. Early Learning Center is a Christ-centered preschool that meets 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's a great place to work. If you're interested, please email lbennett@cumctulsa.com.
You can find all of this information on our website, cumctulsa.com.